252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News. The CEO of TikTok is set to testify before Congress.
Popular video sharing app TikTok is facing growing backlash on Capitol Hill as lawmakers cite concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could share user data with China's government. Republican Senator Josh Hawley has proposed a nationwide ban on TikTok, citing national security risks. In March, TikTok's CEO will now testify to lawmakers for the first time. The House Energy and Commerce Committee says the hearing will cover TikTok's privacy and data security practices, the platform's impact on kids, and its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Scholze, ABC News, Washington.
Lisa Loring, who played TV's first Wednesday Addams in the 1960s series The Addams Family, has died. Loring's representative confirming to ABC News she passed away on Saturday surrounded by family. Loring first starred as Wednesday when she was 6 years old. That role has attracted new attention with the success of Netflix's series Wednesday. Loring was 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Republican flat tax may not make it to this year's budget debate after all. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Upfront program on Milwaukee's Channel 12 he understands Governor Evers would veto a flat tax. Voss says as long as lawmakers cut taxes, he really doesn't mind how. Wisconsin has a $7 billion budget surplus. The governor delivers his budget address on February 15th. After a big dumping of snow this weekend, snowmobile trails are now open throughout Wisconsin. Some trails are not groomed, so local snowmobile groups say to be careful. Lakes, ponds, and marshes that look safe may not be completely frozen. In sports, the Bucks beat New Orleans yesterday 135-110. The Eagles and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
Let's
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station. Civic Media.
Or at cafelatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kaitiki to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Minsher. They're sponsoring this, supporting us in this segment. Minsher can help you find a plan that covers your prescriptions and saves you money. Visit minsher.org to get started. Hey, jam-packed show today. We got the governor, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota here speaking on what's happening here in Minnesota. We really appreciate Peggy Flanagan, Ojibwe, a White Earth Nation, and the Wolf Clan to stop in. And then we also have Dr. Stately here. And before we get into blabbing here any longer, let's get with Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Bonjour, Anin relatives. This is Ogama Gnu Kwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. As you all know, Red Dress Day is about 2 weeks away. February 14th every year is a Red Dress Day, or a day of MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women or People. And the annual MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples March, that's usually held in the Twin Cities for the past 3 years, has not happened in person due to COVID-19, but it is back this year. Tuesday, February 14th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at East Phillips Park. This event is put on by one of our wonderful sponsors, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. The march is for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, boys, LGBTQ+, Two-Spirit, and transgender relatives. No registration is needed. The event is free and open to the public. Please wear red. Bring banners, posters, staffs, drums, rattles, whatever you would like. Information about those loved ones that may still be missing. Put their pictures on a poster. Let the world know that this needs to be taken action on. Again, that's February 14th, 2023, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The march begins at 12 p.m. at East Phillips Park on 17th Avenue South in Minneapolis. Everyone is welcome. Speakers, lunch, and informational tables and more will be there. There will be additional details to come. Go to the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition Facebook page to find the event. Up in Duluth, there is also going to be the 8th Annual Memorial March for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives. That's happening Tuesday, February 14th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. That event is, of course, put on by the American Indian Community Housing Organization, the Native Lives Matter Coalition, Men as Peacemakers, and many others. That's up in the Duluth area. Looks like the event is going to start at the Robert Paulus Cultural Center and the American Indian Community Housing Organization at West 2nd Street in Duluth. They're calling all jingle dress dancers, hand drum singers, and asking people to wear red for MMIWR, red dress, red skirts, red shirts, red shawls, and honoring all survivors with solidarity shawls. Check-in up there is going to be at 11 a.m. Noon is going to be MMIWR family interviews and a meet and greet. 1 p.m., the event will include opening prayers, proclamations. Anger Tower is going to be read for MMIWG2S and MMIWR. There's going to be speakers, singers, a red ribbon memorial, a round dance, and more. The march starts at 2:45 p.m. All are welcome to please come to the event and Memorial March for MMIWR in support of families, relatives, and the community as they collectively march to honor lost loved ones. Again, that's up in Duluth, February 14th. If you are looking for more information, you can go to womensmemorialmarch.wordpress.com/about. Really wonderful history that's available there regarding the history of the Women's Memorial March, the MMIW event, and more. Again, check out the AICHO, or American Indian Community Housing Organization, Facebook page to find the event link there. In climate news, over 1,300 climate justice groups have called for an independent investigation into the police murder of the forest defender Manuel Tortuguita Paez Terran and for Mayor Dickens to resign. Those groups point out that over a week has passed since the murder of Tehran, and Mayor Dickens has still failed to condemn the death of the 26-year-old by police, and instead has opted to condemn protesters and continue with the rhetoric of the governor. The governor there is very right-wing and has dismissed the concerns of Tortuguita's death and has refused to bring any scrutiny to the unsubstantiated recounting of the events. Tortuguita was murdered by police while protecting the Huilani forest from being torn down to build Cop City, which is a proposed $90 million Atlanta police training facility where police across the country will be trained to silence protests in cities. Tortuguita was also known as Tort and was a trained medic, forest defender, and person who coordinated mutual aid and helped build housing in hurricane-impacted areas of Florida. Widely now considered to be the first environmental activist who was killed in the United States, and unfortunately likely to not be the last. So prayers are up for Tortuguita as well as the families and members of the community who have also been murdered or harmed by police in any portion of the United States. This is an ongoing struggle. Also, environmental news coming up here. The Guardian reports that by 2050, electric vehicles could require huge amounts of lithium for their batteries, and that would cause expansions of mining. And that the U.S.'s transition to electric vehicles could require up to three times as much lithium as it's currently producing in the global market, which would cause water shortages, indigenous land grabs, and ecosystem destruction inside and outside the borders of the U.S. Unless the U.S.'s dependence on cars in towns and cities falls drastically, the transition to lithium battery-powered electric vehicles by 2050 would deepen global environmental and social inequalities linked to mining and may even jeopardize the 1.5 Celsius global heating target. This is really something that I think people are just now becoming aware of. And in Minnesota here, there's lithium and nickel mining projects that are said to be had. And we've had some conversations about those. There was a big win in the Boundary Waters recently. But, you know, I did want to touch base on a little bit more of a national thing, which is the largest lithium mine in America is currently in federal judges' hands. It went into court on January 6th of this year, 2023,
And the federal judge is hoping to issue a ruling in this long-running legal battle sometime in the next 2 months. Of course, I'm talking about the proposed mine on Thacker Pass, which is a slice of federal land near Nevada's border with Oregon. And it's seen as key for boosting domestic electric vehicle production. But tribes in that area say that Pihimaha is off limits. Pihimaha is the Paiute word for the Thacker Pass area. The tribes that are against this include the Burns Paiute of Oregon, the Winnemucca Indian Colony, and the Reno Sparks Indian Colony. All consider the land sacred, and elders say that it was the site of an ancient massacre. Even though the EV industry is booming here in the United States, we do need to remember that we cannot mine our way out of the global climate crisis. And unfortunately, this large supply of lithium is something that the United States has its eye on to create cleaner systems for transportation and reduce carbon emissions to combat climate change. But the president has also pledged to right historical wrongs in Indian country by installing Deb Haaland, which is the nation's first ever indigenous cabinet secretary, and who is overseeing the agency permitting the Thacker Pass mine. The battle is really, it's ongoing and it's not unique. We know we have these issues here in Minnesota for copper and other mineral mines here. And, you know, I am just waiting, just like everybody else, over the next couple of months as we await the federal ruling on Thacker Pass. So stay tuned as we continue to follow this story and others here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Back to you, Robert.
Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama, for all you do in the in news you don't hear anywhere else. Up next, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan with the report. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their winter hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Tanky.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Tune in to AM 950's newest show, Searching for Service, a show designed to help current and future Rotarians find purpose through service.
We are dedicated to sharing stories, experiences, and opportunities for those searching for purpose, value, and meaning.
But more importantly, connection through community. Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcasts.
It's time to stop searching and start serving.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I really like that tagline. Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to, you know, all our Patreon people out there that have really helped us support us, especially during COVID. It was huge when, if everyone remembers, it was like a dream that we, all the advertisers faded away because all the businesses closed. And I just want to give everyone a quick shout out that supports us through Patreon. And if you want to support us, through Patreon and hear news that you don't hear anywhere else, go to Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and throw us a few bucks. Ho! Hey, we are really super pleased and proud to have our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, check in every couple weeks here and give us a report. So without further ado, wow, I speak French. Without further ado, let's listen to the Lieutenant Governor here real quick, Pina Gigi. The Lieutenant Governor's not speaking right now. Patrick, do you have the Lieutenant Governor queued up?
To be honest, I don't. I did not know we were going to be playing that clip tonight, so just a tap dance for a second while I get that queued up.
So, yeah, the Lieutenant Governor is definitely, you know, one of our greatest assets here in the state of Minnesota. Peggy is a White Earth, like I said earlier, a White Earth resident. She's in the Wolf Clan, which really, really gives us support when we talk about our wolves and how they're our family. And, you know, just to let you know, too, you know, I'm in the Eagle Clan with our with our nation, Ho-Chunk Nation, and I'm really proud to be a Klan member, and it means a lot of different things to us, and maybe we'll do a show sometime on that. How are we doing there, Patrick?
Just a second here. I have it just about ready. Just one more minute here.
No problem. No problem. It's always fun, you know, when we do live radio, because, like, if the show is too slick, then it seems like it's not live. And we're kind of a folksy little radio show here on Native Roots Radio. We've been on for 6 years, and we're really proud about all the guests and all the people bringing their truth that have been on the show for 6 years. And that's a support. And as you can tell, you know, as I'm talking, that this show is run basically on guests, because I have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm just a conduit for these great guests we've had over the 6 years. And we've had the governor, of Wisconsin on, we've had the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin on, we have the Governor of Minnesota, we've had Sharice Davids on. We talk about comedians, too. We've had many of the reservation dog people on, and Rutherford Falls, when that was on, we had a great show with them. And so, you know, we're really happy and pleased and proud to be a conduit for all this Native stuff that goes on and really goes on unnoticed and we love the support of Devil Radio and the Civic Media and AM 950. We couldn't do this without you. We'd be, you know, doing smoke signals, and our white allies wouldn't know what we're saying. So I'm glad we're able to bring this about. So how are we doing there, Patrick?
Hang on one.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, one of the things, I got to tell you this, too. We had Johnny Roberts on, who's in the book. We had a little real estate problem. The book, The Unheralded Story of Native Americans in Comedy. And they had that comedy show last Saturday, and it was sold out. Just great reviews. And it was exciting to see that. And we need more of that, and especially, we need to take control of our own comedy and our own stories. And I don't know why Patrick's looking. I want to read an excerpt from Johnny Roberts drives 5 hours to everyday gig and 5 hours back for an Ojibwe social worker and a part-time stand-up in Red Lake Nation. Getting to the closest open mic night requires an atrocious 5-hour drive. Johnny Roberts says goodbye to his wife, 2 children, 8 young foster kids before departing on his exhausting routine. Roberts is driving to Minneapolis to do a show for an audience that might not even show up. It's a long drive there and a long drive back, a total of 10 hours. But it's the only way for this reservation comic to get himself on stage, or any stage time. After having logged several hundred thousand miles during a vast distance from gig to gig his 2004 Chevy Silverado has stopped working. Roberts thinks the transmission is probably dead. He borrows his wife's black Dodge Nitro this evening and heads into the direction of Highway 89. It's pretty much farmland all the way until St. Cloud, Minnesota, Roberts says. There are a few malls, gas stations, but mostly it's a lot of nothing. As he drives past the water tower with the Red Lake Nation insignia, he stops at Red Lake Trading Post to fill up his tank. It costs $120 to get him to the gig and back, a gig that plays $0 in the last 7 minutes. Red Lake encompasses 800,000 acres and mostly flat landscape. Roberts grew up there, obsessively recording stand-up comedians off the television, hoarding VHS tapes of the 1980s comedy boom. Continuing is his only option. He has a few neighbors who share his passion. They've tried comedy shows at the casino here, but it's hard to get people out. There's not much interest, you know. Let me get this cat down here a second here.
The clip ready. Obviously, we're very late now in the segment, so I don't know if you want to hold off for the next one, but I do have the lieutenant governor ready for us now.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder, should we just keep going here and then play it the next segment?
Yeah, we can go ahead with that.
Yeah, hey, so I was listening to you and Matt earlier. The Packers aren't in. The Packers are not in the playoffs, and the Vikings aren't in the playoffs, but it was pretty crazy playoffs this weekend. It seemed like all things were going against Buffalo in a very weird way. Did you agree with that, Patrick?
Yeah, it was... last week when I was watching that game with them, that it felt like it was all in front of them, and they just didn't have a good game against Cincinnati at all. And then Cincinnati lost yesterday, so it's been a little bit of a crazy playoff season. It usually is, but over on the other side, Philadelphia just kind of took care of business. There wasn't really much resistance against them between either the New York Giants or the 49ers. It was, I thought they would have a little bit of a tougher time, but they made it look pretty easy.
Yeah, well, quarterbacks injured, things didn't go down. I can't wait until baseball season, personally. So that's the Twins Fest was last weekend, and I'm excited for some outdoor baseball. You know, for many years we were here with the dome, the Homer Dome, the trash bag wall, and all these things that was so fake. I'm so happy that we have outdoor baseball again, and excited to go outside and listen. Listen to the Twins, and things like that. So, hey, why don't we, Patrick, you're a big Twins fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've seen some of the renovations that they've been doing. They've made the scoreboard bigger. They changed the home run sign out on center field. And they even put kind of a disco ball-like thing up on top of that clock tower in right field, which is pretty amazing.
Well, and then how about the new uniforms? I'm kind of upset about that because they had their original uniforms were like pinstripe uniforms like the Yankees, and you never see the Yankees change their uniforms, but the Twins have a Twin City away, and then they have a weird M with a star on it that looks like the Mariners hat now, and I'm kind of upset with the new uniforms.
No, I I know they're kind of taking time for to sink in for some people. I know we got to get to break here, so I won't elaborate too long. But what I think is kind of cool is the M on that cap is actually, I think, an homage to the old Washington Senators, which the history of which the Twins didn't pay much attention to until a couple years ago. And then suddenly, like, oh, yeah, we've actually won 3 World Series, not 2. We started in 1901, not 1961.
A progressive voice.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A 6th Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Republican flat tax may not make it to this year's budget debate after all. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Upfront program on Milwaukee's Channel 12 he understands Governor Evers would veto a flat tax. Voss says as long as lawmakers cut taxes, he really doesn't mind how. Wisconsin has a $7 billion budget surplus. The governor delivers his budget address on February 15th. After a big dumping of snow this weekend, snowmobile trails are now open throughout Wisconsin. Some trails are not groomed, so local snowmobile groups say to be careful. Lakes, ponds, and marshes that look safe may not be completely frozen. In sports, the Bucks beat New Orleans yesterday 135-110. The Eagles and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit,
oh, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership and say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the 2 major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
For All Energy Solar's winter webinar, visit allenergysolar.com/webinar to register for an event and see what incentives are available for you.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by a Native Roots Radio Patreon. I just thought I'd throw that out there again. Native Roots Radio Network. We couldn't do this without you. Hey, so I think we got this queued up, and we really would love to get the Lieutenant Governor on here. Really appreciate you, Patrick. And it was fun talking a little baseball. I really didn't want a Native American show. I wanted a baseball show when I was younger. So I was living my dream right there, talking a little baseball. And we'll get maybe a little bit more into that in the fourth segment if Dr. Stately doesn't show up. So, hey, without further ado, let's hear what a report from the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota. Hoo-wah.
Buju, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. We just finished rolling out our One Minnesota budget proposal for this legislative biennium. And let me tell you, this is the budget I've been working towards my entire life. Budgets aren't just fiscal documents, they're moral documents. These are the pages where we make it clear what we value and what we invest in. I'll dig in more on specific proposals and investments in the coming weeks, but I wanted to just start here with an overview. First, we rolled out our package focused on making Minnesota the best state in the country for kids. As many of you know, growing up, my mom and I relied on public programs like SNAP, which back in the day we called food stamps, and relied on the child care assistance program so that my mom could have a safe place to bring me while she went back to school and got a better paying job. And I frankly had housing because of a Section 8 housing voucher, and I am alive today because as a kid with asthma, Medicaid was a necessary tool for me to get my medications and really just to stay alive. So I am where I am today, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, because of those programs, not despite them. And we are committed to helping families like mine and like so many of yours thrive with proposals like a child tax credit that helps parents afford essentials such as paying bills, school expenses, a new pair of shoes, childcare costs. Our proposal offers $1,000 per child up to $3,000 for low-income families and is expected to decrease child poverty in this state by 25% by that policy alone. Expanding access to quality, affordable child care by investing in a mixed delivery system that creates and sustains child care slots where they're needed most, including in Greater Minnesota. Funding for universal free meals for all students at schools so that every child can learn with a full belly, without stigma, and without question. And if you were a kid with a different colored lunch ticket like I was, this program will make a tremendous difference. We're going to feed our kids, and it's going to be a really good thing. Partnering with tribes and the urban Native community to strengthen and preserve Native families, and so much more. Next, we rolled out our budget package focused on investing in Minnesota's economic and climate future. As a mom of a now 10-year-old daughter, I want my child and every Minnesota child to be able to enjoy the things that make Minnesota, Minnesota, like our clean air and water, our fertile farmable land, our robust and valued workforce, and our vibrant small business economy and community. That's why we propose meaningful investments in providing paid family and medical leave and earned sick and safe time to make sure that no one needs to choose between their health, their family, or their jobs. Connecting high-need workforce sectors with workers and new and growing population of workers with training and family-sustaining wages and jobs. And investing in the clean energy workforce, electric vehicle infrastructure, rehabilitating our land and water and air quality, and building homes and communities that are climate resilient. That's how we build a bright future for ourselves, for our kids, and for our entire state. Thirdly, we rolled out our budget package focused on protecting the health and safety of Minnesotans. Everyone deserves to be safe and protected and valued in their community, no matter who they are or where they live. That's why we proposed $1.5 billion towards a housing stability package to assist our relatives experiencing homelessness, renters, and aspiring first-time homeowners. Establishing a Minnesota Care public buy-in option so that folks can access health care, and $300 million to local governments to address their unique public safety needs. And finally, we rolled out our entire budget proposal last Tuesday, and here's just a few highlights. Our direct proposal sends a one-time payment of up to $2,600 directly to Minnesota households. And that matters. These direct cash assistance, right, these direct checks empower families to decide what they need most to make ends meet. So this could be paying first and last month's rent to get into housing, fixing a car, paying off credit card debt, making sure that your children have new shoes that fit, which is something that I understand. And finally, we believe it's time. It is past time to safely legalize adult use cannabis. Prohibition doesn't work, and legalizing adult use cannabis is about our economic future, expanding our economy and creating jobs across the state. It's also about health, allowing us to regulate the industry and to ensure that products are safe, and educating the public about the facts of cannabis use. And it's about public safety, allowing law enforcement to focus on violent crime and expunging the records of people who are convicted of nonviolent offenses involving cannabis to give them a second chance. I know that's a long list, and there's even more that we'll be discussing in the coming weeks and months, but as just a sneak peek, I wanted to also name that our One Minnesota budget does a lot to support tribal nations and tribal communities. In fact, altogether, the budget recommends over $7 billion in proposals and investments that advance shared state and tribal priorities, and I cannot wait to share more of those with you here in the coming weeks. There's a lot of good stuff in this budget, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope that you are too. We can reduce child poverty, we can invest in each other and in our future, and we can make sure that everyone has an opportunity in the state. In many ways, this budget is why the governor and I decided to run in the first place. And now we can do it, but we're also going to need your help. This session is the session to let your local legislator know how you feel about these investments and to let them know why our community is deserving of these investments too. So we can do things for short term for our families and for our children, and then build for the long term to ensure that future generations of our children have every opportunity in Minnesota, Makoche, Chimigwich, Pinagigi, and back to you.
Hey, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. Wow, totally awesome. You know, I just give you a quick rundown, too, on Peggy. Peggy Flanagan is Minnesota's 50th Lieutenant Governor, a member of the White Earth Nation of Ojibwe, and is currently the country's highest-ranking Native woman elected to executive office at the Center of All Our Work. Is making progress for children, working families, communities of color, indigenous communities in Minnesota who has historically been underserved and unrepresentative. So it was really good to hear from the Lieutenant Governor. And hey, we got a few more minutes in this segment, and we got Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. Great to see you, Dr. Stately. I'm just so proud of our Lieutenant Governor. I'm just so proud of our Lieutenant Governor, and I just really love having this kind of partnership with her a couple times a month, and always great seeing you and having this partnership with you with all the great news that you bring to us. And, you know, I was talking to Wendy a couple times today, and she was going to meet with her sister. Her sister, you know, she's out in New York right now, and she's going to be coming back. Mm-hmm. Sister COVID. Former sister-in-law she was going to have lunch with, COVID. So I don't know, is the East Coast rocking and rolling with COVID again?
I think so. Like, there's like, they have a pretty high percentage of that XBB1 variant that is the newest variation of Omicron. It's kind of wreaking some havoc up there. It's, you know, New York and the East Coast is very densely populated, lots of travel, international travel in and out of that area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they're not masking up and taking precautions, it's going to happen.
Well, I appreciate you stopping in here, and we only got a couple minutes left in this segment, but I don't know. Do you mind telling our listeners where you were before you got here? About your two sons and how proud you are and how great of a man you're becoming?
Sure. Well, where I was earlier today, I was at an all afternoon meeting which in Minneapolis, which was why I was late getting back here, had picking up my sons for hockey practice. But I was spent the afternoon in a large meeting with a bunch of Black and Indigenous community folk and leaders, all talking about birthing justice. NAC is part of a four-member coalition that's building a strategy for addressing birthing justice and better maternal and child health outcomes for our community. And, you know, I caught the tail end of the LG's talk there about, you know, Minnesota has historic investments that it can make. And I was at the inauguration when the governor made his speech, and he talked a little bit about, like, you know, Minnesota is one of the best places to raise families. They were about third in the nation. He really wants to make it be his, you know, by the time he leaves office in 2 years, he wants it to be the best place in the nation to raise children and raise a family. And in order for us to make that happen, we have to really address the significant and high disparity rates in maternal and child health for Native women and Black women and their children. Wow. And I'm really proud to be part of those conversations right now. So,
yeah, you know, we got less than a minute here. Are those conversations stressful? I mean, is there a lot of stress, or is there a lot of release in giving your truth, or how does that work for you?
I think for me personally, they're not stressful in the sense that I'm feeling good that they were finally having them. It was a tough conversation, though. We started the day this afternoon. I was a little bit late running for the meeting. Obviously, I was at the mayor's office before that. I feel like I'm always late for meetings. That's kind of like...
Oh, looks like you just froze up here. Hey, we're with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to a Monday version of Native Roots Radio, where if one thing can't go wrong, the other. But hey, we're here and we're having fun, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hopefully. No, we will.
I apologize. Oh. I got cut off because I mentioned NPR. I know it.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Metro State University empowers students to expand their knowledge and advance their careers through high-quality bachelor's and master's programs in high-demand fields. Looking to complete a four-year degree? Metro State has more than 60 undergraduate programs to choose from. Hoping to move into the next level of your career? Find out which of Metro State's 25-plus graduate programs is right for you. Visit metrostate.edu for upcoming info sessions and to apply. Spring registration is open now. Metro State University, where learning meets living.
Winter is here, and there's a good chance your home isn't being heated efficiently. And it's likely because of air sealing and insulation problems. Inadequate attic insulation is the leading contributor to high energy bills, cold rooms, and ice damps. Great news, the energy-efficient pros at Snap Construction can fix it all. Stop the heat from leaking out and save. Call 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com for your free infrared energy inspection. Install with Snap Construction and qualify for over $750 in rebates and incentives. State and city programs are now offering 0% financing for qualifying insulation upgrades. So call Snap Construction for your free insulation energy consultation and start saving on your energy bills. Call 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or visit snapconstruction.com. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed insulation and exterior contractor in the metro area. Visit snapconstruction.com.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. This portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, preserving our wolves for future generations. Hey, we're here with Dr. We're here with Dr. Howling Stately, and we're talking a little bit about stress. And I appreciate you coming on because I know you are like balancing so many things and twirling plates in the sky, and so it's good to see you. I missed you at the round dance Saturday.
I know. Yeah, I was disappointed about that. But
well,
I had hockey all day. Like, you know, I can't really do anything in the community between the months of October and April because this hockey consumes my life. It just so.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the day that my children start driving. Like I will, you might see me dancing in the middle of Franklin Avenue on the day that my children start driving.
Well, it was great to see everybody at the round dance, but my hip hurts and my knee hurts from going around and around in the same direction. So, I'm gonna have to figure out backwards.
You might have to in the middle of it, switch hands and round dance to the other side. Just change it up a little bit. Change up your routine, you know. Put a little sway in those hips. Give it a little action in there.
Yes. Well, I was grooving and acting like I was 40 again, and having cramps in the middle of having cramps in the middle of the night was like not my superpower.
Yeah. Well, you know. Maybe you shouldn't dance like you're 40. Maybe you should dance like you're 50. Because you're 61, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Stress is a... Here's the interesting thing. So actually, I was just listening to this piece on... I think it was either On Point... Anyway, one of those radio shows that we run on that station we don't talk about. was talking a little bit about like the nature of stress and how stress is not all bad. There's actually not bad things about stress. Some stress is really bad. Traumatic stress is really bad. Mm-hmm. And then chronic stress can be very bad because chronic stress is actually a killer in the sense that it can do things like create heart disease, high blood pressure, those kinds of things. Those silent killer just diseases. But one of the things that stress also does is stress can also be a motivator, and it kind of like, you know, when you're feeling a little bit like, you know, a little bit stressed about your schoolwork, a little bit stressed about like a task you have to achieve, or maybe there's a big decision you have to make, those kinds of things, or a presentation perhaps, or anything like that. Those things sometimes serve to kind of help you stay focused and help you sort of like, stay focused on a task, and also motivate you to sort of kind of move towards accomplishing the thing that you need to accomplish. So sometimes it can be a good thing. The problem is in our communities, we have a lot of stress that is pervasive and it's mm-hmm. chronic and it's intergenerational, right? And so paying attention to those things, indications of stress that might be causing you social, emotional, or physical disorders or challenges are really important so that you can go in and seek help and get help for those things.
Yeah.
To manage it better.
I know years ago I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard, you know, a lot of times stress causes cancer. It ignites these things in your body that aren't good when you go through all this stress.
Yeah, I'm not sure how hard the science is on that. I would imagine that, like, you know, there's a confluence of a lot of things. I think, like, you know, like you're more likely to, you know, perhaps develop cancer if you, like, you know, eat highly carcinogenic foods. A lot of cancers are caused by environmental factors, right?
Yeah.
The things that, the spaces and places in which you live, you know, all things that are squarely within, like, some of the work we do at NAC, which is, you know, trying to bring more, shed more light on things like, you know, the amount of environmental toxins that our communities and, you know, exposed to within the inner cities, you know, bounded by a couple of highways, like talking about South Minneapolis and like the Little Earth housing development.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that sort of kind of make, you know, all kinds of conditions problematic for Native folks. Highest rates of asthma, highest rates of cardiovascular disease, highest rates of all kinds of things that make us much, much more likely to be sick by other things like cancer. We have some of the highest rates of cancer and lung disease, lung disorders, lung cancers. They're really quite dramatically different than Native people.
Yeah, so is it nature over in nature, is it a lot of it have to do with the what's been handed down traumatically, or is it environmental, or both?
I think there's, many cancers are can be directly linked to things like behaviors, smoking, the things that you ingest into your body. Several of them are related to carcinogens in the environment, right? If you, and some of these things are not even things that are always beyond our control either. Like we, you know, the native people all across Turtle Island, in many of their communities, they are the poorest and most disenfranchised. And I'm trying to really actually change my language around that. We say disenfranchised when it's really like disinvested in like governments, right, and other banks and people who have wealth and money don't invest in those communities. They don't find them bankable, so to speak. So they don't invest in those communities. And that's the problem, is that like when we don't have those investments in our communities, we can't hold up our communities and help them with their health and their well-being and their and giving them the things that they need. A good example of that is like we have a hotly contested sort of action that's before the Minneapolis Parks or not Public Works Board, and then also within the city council. And it's all about the rooftop depot building and the city parks, Public Works Department wants to move all of their maintenance equipment to South Minneapolis and build a new maintenance facility right there within like 3 or 4 blocks of Little Earth, along Hiawatha Avenue. Already one of the areas in Minneapolis that has some of the highest toxins, parts per million, in the air, and also in a community that has practically no green space, right? Those are the kinds of situations and conditions that our Native people live in all the time. And we're poor. We don't have the ability to hire big lobbyists. We don't have the ability to hire big attorneys that fight those systems. And poverty and health disparities and inequities, those kinds of things, go hand in hand, quite frankly.
Yeah, I saw a couple months ago, Dr. Stately, that there was a city council thing going on with that. Where does the city council of Minneapolis stand in that?
I think they just made a vote recently to advance the project or the proposed project a little bit forward. They didn't approve it, but they did advance. Make a recommendation to sort of to go ahead and move forward on future parts of the project. And there's a lot of people working on this thing. You know, there's some great people in our community that are sort of kind of working on from advocacy and public policy perspective, and also peer activist perspective, to try and get that more attention. This is something that we absolutely need to be fighting for.
Wow, let's keep posted on that, and I'd like to show up myself because it's ridiculous. Let's put a pipeline, let's put pollution next to these communities that don't have a voice. Hey, thanks, Dr.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, WW250 CV Green Bay.